We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This is Clay Thompson. You are listening to The Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
Boy, is Clay Thompson making himself some more money? 16 points yesterday, just 3 of 11 from 3-point line, 6 of 15. But you just wonder what his value is in the offseason. That'd be fascinating to get into on The Morning Roast once this season is over. Maybe the season lasts till June. You never know. Who knows?
who's been the most one of the most clutch players in the NBA this year, you think?
Clutch?
Yeah, if you were to go like a top 10, you know.
Well, Jokic, Murray, Luka, Kyrie,
Gilgeous
Kawhi,
Alexander,
SGA,
okay.
Jalen Williams.
So I'd like to stop on SGA for just a second.
De'Aaron Fox.
Yes. He's 25 years old, Shai Gilgeous Alexander. His first year in the league, he averaged, you know, give or take, you know, you're looking at the minutes played.
Well, he's on the Clippers.
About 26 minutes a game.
He wasn't really playing on the Clippers.
20 years old, all right? And then he gets traded to OKC. Now, they were terrible. They're not in the same situation that the Warriors are in currently. But I look at his minutes per game. 35, 34, 35, 36, on 35.
On a bad team, correct?
I'm just giving you his minutes per game.
But I'm not asking because there's context to everything, right?
Are the Warriors a good team this year?
Well, they didn't think they were not going to be a good team. They have championship players.
I'm just saying.
Hold on. The situation's different, Chasky. Let's be fair here.
Yeah?
SGA went to an Oklahoma City team that you laughed at me about 2 years ago because I told you SGA was good. You ripped me for that one.
Yes, you're
and
right.
And now you're coming around Sunday and you bring this up. But there's context to everything. He was on the bad basketball team.
But the Warriors have been bad for multiple years.
He was allowed to play through that because they were bad and they knew they were going to be bad. The Warriors still have Steph Curry, who's a top 10 player in this league. And they still have Draymond Green. And they still have Klay Thompson and Andrew Wiggins. And they had a belief coming into the year. And maybe it was delusion. And it's turned around that, you know what, maybe they're not as good as they thought they were. But they still had that championship core. Oklahoma City had nobody.
No,
it was SGA's team from day number one, and he was allowed to play through the mistakes. When you have a championship core, and you're going to the second round of the playoffs last season, and you're trying to play this season with your championship core, and you bring in CP3, you're trying to win games. So you're not going to give a young guy an opportunity to play through the mistakes on a team like this.
But you don't get to see the fruit ripen if you don't allow it to oxidize a little, right? You have to allow the individual to play.
I understand that. But the situation is completely different.
But then
though,
this
Chasky.
Is what I would say to you. They made an organizational mistake by having any young players on this team if you're never going to allow some of the promising ones to play through mistakes.
That's what I'm saying. But the situation is different. All I'm doing, I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree. I wanted JK to play last year just as much as anybody. I was yelling about that until I was blue in the face. I thought last season was about the veterans not coming through and the youngsters. It was like two different teams. There was the whole timeline thing and two different teams. Yeah, Poole, Wiseman, and Kuminga and Moody playing together. It didn't work. Didn't work out. But don't give me this SGA got to play in OKC. OKC had no expectations whatsoever.
No, the bigger
they were
point,
a real.
Monty,
they
you're
were
missing
rebuilding.
The point.
No, I'm not
the
missing
point
the point.
That I'm trying
it's a
to
completely
make is,
different situation.
How?
How? OKC has no expectations.
But
they weren't raising banners. They weren't going to the playoffs. They have a million first-round picks. The situation with the Golden State Warriors was completely different than OKC's.
The Warriors need young players to develop so that they can actually be good for the interim and for the future. So there's no point in having any young players on your team if you're not going to allow them the opportunity to make the mistakes.
That. I understand that.
So we can argue about OKC being a dumpster fire.
No, but you're not understanding that the Warriors have a Steph Curry. They have a Draymond Green. They have a Klay Thompson.
Yeah,
they have champions.
Let's go back to the Spurs.
Hold on. Shaq's going to be finished. They just won a championship.
Uh-huh.
They come back the next season and essentially bring back the same team.
Mm-hmm.
So where's the youngsters going to play on a team that just won a championship?
You lost Otto Porter Jr., who played heavy minutes for you.
He's a spot player at a certain point.
You lost Andre Iguodala, who was a big part of the 18.
Iguodala didn't play much in 2022. No, he was hurt for most
at the beginning of the year. He did.
Come on, he played a little bit, but let's not act like he's saying.
You're asking me, and I'm answering, right? Like, so you played Tony Parker early on. If you're the Spurs, you played Ginobili. Like, even though they had championship aspirations early on with those teams, there's no point in having this many young players if you're never going to allow them the opportunity to grow. And now we're in year four, and we don't know if these guys are any good.
Hold on. Let's pause on that. You have two rookies playing heavy minutes now.
Yes.
It's Trayce Jackson-Davis and Brandon Podziemski.
Yes.
So that has flipped, number one.
That has flipped.
Number two, Kuminga's playing over 30 minutes since January 5th. But last season, coming off a championship season, you're going to ride the course and we could run this back and win a championship. That was the aspirations for this team and this organization. It was championship or bust. When the hell has it been championship or bust for SGA? SGA could lose in the first round this year, and everybody in Oklahoma City is going to say, that's okay. So the runway to play the youngsters was just not there because you had a championship core trying to run it back. You don't have patience to play young guys.
They closed with Anthony Lamb at times last
year. That's on Kerr. I get that. But this is my point.
You're saying there was no runway, and I was saying there was always a runway. You have to create those opportunities.
I disagree with that. OKC and the Warriors are in two completely different situations.
How many games did Anthony Lamb close last year for his team?
Well, Steve Kerr trusted him. I don't know how many games he exactly closed. I don't know if he closed. Maybe he played important minutes. But at the final five for most games was Steph, Klay, Dre, Wiggins, Looney, or am I missing Wiggins? Who else am I missing there? Oh, Jordan Poole.
Jordan Poole.
That was your final five for most of the nights. They wasn't closing a lot of games.
Bonte, like, this thing that we're not going to allow any youngsters to get any run, this team desperately needed youth to get up and down the floor with them.
And now we're in year three, and
we're going to be in year four, and we're talking about a couple of months of Jonathan Kuminga getting 30 minutes. Like, again, the point is, for these young players to play, you should have known heading into the season, even though you have championship aspirations, when you're not going to play Steph Curry over 30, 32 minutes a game, all right? When you're not going to do it, you're telling me while you're fighting for a playoff spot that you're not going to overuse him, then why haven't you used the young guys? So to me, there's this giant contradiction. Both the organization, the coach, the players, we're all over the place.
How many years have the SGA been in this league?
Six
years.
Yeah.
How many years?
You're hung up on SGA.
I'm making the bigger point about minutes played. You're not even hearing me. You're not even hearing me. It's two completely different situations. He's in year six, and sure, he's played a lot of minutes over the last 3-4 years. Kuminga did not play a lot of minutes last year, and I get why he didn't play a lot of minutes last year. I believe he deserved more minutes, but it wasn't there. Why? Because you got a championship core. That's what it is. That's what it was. I wanted Kuminga to play last year more than anybody at this damn station. It didn't work out.
The metaphor I'm making is that you don't get to just have players develop in a tiny vacuum. They need to develop with a long runway.
I understand.
And so when you don't give anyone a long runway, you're literally hamstringing your own players.
I understand that. I understand that completely. I'm with you 100% on that. But you're not going to get a long runway on a championship team. Last year, Shasky, was the Warriors not the defending champions?
Yeah.
They also won 11 games on the road. Yeah, but they won 30 away from home. Why did they win on the road? Anyway, all I'm saying is they had championship aspirations. What is not baked into that? Their final five was Poole, Wiggins, Steph, Klay, and Draymond, and sometimes Kevon Looney. You're not going to get along the runway on a young team when you have a veteran coach like Steve Kerr. You make a couple mistakes, he's not having the patience for you. That's just what it was.
Yeah,
they're getting that runway in year number three. He's getting the runway. Pazza TJG is getting the runway. But you're in different situations. They're completely different situations.
The metaphor of allowing young players to develop and thrive is going to stand whether the team is garbage or not. If we're not saying five young players playing all at once. You have to be able to give one young player the opportunity to prove that he belongs and allow them to play through the mistakes.
But when you're,
they've allowed Pajemski this year, which I'm glad they have, to play through his mistakes. They've allowed TJD, and he's brought more to the table, but to play through the mistakes. And that is growth. But I'm saying at the end of the day, like, I need Kuminga to close every single game from here to the end.
Kuminga wasn't ready last season to do that, to get that runway. It wasn't going to work with Draymond and Curry. They didn't have the patience for that. The veterans wanted to play with veterans. Now, maybe you could disagree with them, and maybe there's an argument there. But that runway that SGA had in OKC to play, you're not going to get that on a championship team. Steve Kerr's not going to be patient. Last year was last year. He's not going to be patient with these guys. It's just not when you have a championship type of culture.
So, but why are we patient with Andrew Wiggins?
Well, it's different because he's a veteran who helped you win a championship and was your second best player winning the championship.
Yeah, but that
so you get that benefit of the doubt, right? Do you not get that benefit of the doubt with Andrew Wiggins?
But Jordan Poole was also a guy that, you know, brought a lot of great to the table, and that all dissipated immediately with this team. So I've seen them organizationally move off of someone and ice that person out, even though they've done a lot of great things in the playoffs. And I think Wiggins' contributions in the playoffs were greater than JP's, but we're acting like Wiggins is one of the original core three guys. He's not.
But he was your second best player during the championship season.
Yeah, that was a great 3-month run.
And when you make an all-star game, and you do that, and you're a two-way player who guards at the point of attack, who's your best individual defender at this point, even this season, he's probably your best individual defender.
I mean, it is. I don't think he's played like that.
He hasn't played like it, but on this team, who has played like it? This defense is getting cooked left and right.
Who's my best individual defensive player?
Who's your best individual defensive player right now?
That's a great question. Maybe GP2?
He's playing spot minutes.
I'm just trying to answer it. Like maybe GP2.
But it's not definitive.
The fact
that it's not definitive shows you how leaky this defense has been.
I think personally, watching every night, and I'm sure there's advanced numbers, defense is hard to quantify. I think Kuminga's been far and away better than Wiggins at every level.
I don't disagree.
And I'm tired
of
us giving Wiggins all of this leeway and stuff. Like, okay, we can have sensitivity, but that doesn't mean we need to play him.
Nobody's giving Wiggins leeway, but I understand why he's playing. You're just not going to let $100 million on a 15-man roster just rot. You got to try to find something out of him. You got to play him at some point on his team. Who's like, as much as I like Moses Moody, is Moody a better player than Andrew Wiggins?
Look, why is Moody on the roster if you're not going to flip it over to take a look at it?
I don't know. That's
you know, like this goes back to connectivity.
I
know that they moved off of the GM last year, and I'm looking at it this year because there was a lot of like disconnect between what the organization put together and what the coach was looking for. Like the coach was playing Ty Jerome and Anthony Lamb, and they had younger players that they were not playing. So there was clearly a disconnect. I don't know why Moses Moody's on this roster if we're not going to look at it.
But we're also like we're bitching about it about minutes. We act like J.K. didn't average 21 minutes a game last season as a 20-year-old on a team coming off a championship season.
Yeah, but Anthony Lamb and Ty Jerome doubled his minutes.
No, they played 19 minutes a game.
No, but he had a lot of DNPs, which skew the numbers. So like that, you got to bake that into it. Yeah, because if you look at overall,
look at overall minutes. I'm just saying.
Anthony Lamb had way more minutes overall, just the totality of the year.
All right, so overall minutes. Jonathan Kuminga 1,394 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Anthony Lamb 1,195 minutes.
There we go.
So Kuminga played more minutes than Anthony Lamb. He played more overall minutes than Anthony Lamb last year.
Okay.
Did he not? You just asked me. I just told you.
Did you not see Anthony Lamb play more minutes in crucial situations than John DeKuminga?
You said overall minutes.
Ty Jerome and Anthony Lamb combined had more minutes.
He played overall minutes. They're two players. Of course, they're going to play more minutes. They're two players compared to one. What are you talking about? You're not going to have a runway playing youngsters on a team like this coming off a championship season. It's just not. Where you been? It's not going to happen. That's all I'm saying.
I've been the guy who's been claiming that Clay should come off the bench for 2 years, and I've been right.
Oh, yeah, you've been right.
Has his numbers not been better? That's who I am.
He made the most threes last year. You also compared him to Kyle Korver.
And
Mitchell him in the and Max Strus and Kyle Korver. How's that wearing? Kyle Korver can't hold Clay Thompson's jock strap, man. Stop playing out here. Let's go to the damn lines. KC and Moran, talk to us. Flush that take. SGA's been in OKC. He's been in 6 years. Come on, man. They ain't got no expectations in OKC. They don't even have to win a championship this season. And everybody in Oklahoma City's going to be, yay, we're back. We got young players. This is a championship mindset we're dealing here with the Golden State Warriors. What aren't you hearing about that? KC and Moran. Gone. Gene in Oakland.
Morning, fellas. Hey, first of all, Joe, I have a practically foolproof way to avoid jury duty, but I'm going to have to give it to you offline.
All right, give it to me.
I don't want to get in trouble. No, I'll do it offline. If you want to want me to text it to you or something, I'll do it later. But anyways, turning to the Warriors, look, to try to encapsulate everything that's already been said, they're either too old or they're too young, all right? I mean, the core group, they've been getting older. They've been slowing down for years now. Even back in the championship year 2 years ago, there were at least three or four games during the playoffs where they showed up. They were sluggish. They were tired. And they got rolled early, and they said, okay, you know, let's just live for another game. And sure enough, you know, with 3 days rest instead of one, they came back and played very well. So, I mean, just go through the group. You're looking at, you know, Clay was great 2 games ago. And then, you know, the first half of that Indiana game, he was shooting and getting all his threes. And by the second half, you know, he couldn't get his feet under him and he was missing everything. Dre is older and he's fighting this chronic back problem, right? So even though he's had, I think, a very good season considering, you know, it's not going to get any better for him. And even Curry, I mean, he's been great, but he hasn't been consistently great the way he has been in the past. He's slowing down. And Wiggins, I wonder, you know, he's had 10 years in the league. So he's more like a 32-year-old player, and I'm wondering if fatigue isn't part of his problem. So that's the problem on that side. And then the youth, I love these three guys that we got, you know, and I think they're Kuminga's going to be a star, maybe an all-star by as soon as next year, but they all need more seasoning, you know. They need more time. They're not ready to take us deep into the playoffs either.
This is a real NBA. This is a real NBA, Uncle Gene. You depend on young players, you're not going to go very far. Now, the question I have then is the rest of the way, with 12 games left, and you're one game up on the Houston Rockets, what do Warrior fans want to see? Do you want to just see all the young guys play? Do you want to bench Andrew Wiggins? Do you not want to see the veterans? You just want to go straight? Let's go straight youngsters. Do you not want to try to make an effort for the play-in and try to get into the playoffs? What do Warrior fans want the rest of the way? I'm okay. Let the fans call it. You guys want to see the youngsters or see the youngsters?
I don't think it's all the youngsters. What they want to see is they want to see Jonathan Kuminga play at the end of every single game for the rest of the year.
Okay, fine.
Win or lose. Let's see that. Because they're not in a position where they are championship robust. And so if it does boil down to, at the end of the day, Wiggins or Kuminga, I think there's an emotional investment from everyone's behalf into Kuminga and seeing what he could be. And if he falls on his face, then so be it. And if he succeeds, he'll be better for it for next year.
They're trying to win a game yesterday. He wasn't having a great game down the stretch, so Steve Kerr bitched him. It was one game, and we're all losing our minds because he didn't close yesterday in a 4-point loss.
No, it's Wiggins the totality.
Wiggins was better than him defensively. Like, I don't, like, we've all clamored for Kuminga to play. I was beating the tables last year saying, I need to see more JK. I need to see more JK. I thought it was criminal that he didn't play in the playoffs. I've been JK's biggest defender at this damn station, on TV, it doesn't matter. But yesterday, I can admit, he wasn't great down the stretch. So he went with Wiggins, who was having a better game defensively. Just watch it down the stretch.
But
he was too impatient.
But
it's
I
one
hear you
game.
On that, but
it's one game. Why are we going to lose our heads?
That's dictated the last three years of rotations where it's like, I'm trying to win this game.
It's just one game. It's just one game that you tried to win. He didn't have it yesterday. So this is what happens. We talked about this a couple weeks ago.
So if he doesn't have it again tomorrow,
we've talked about this.
You're going to do the same thing?
No. We talked about this before, Shasky. The same conversations we have in 2 years. I don't forget things. We had this conversation. We know Draymond and Steph is going to close.
Yeah.
That's two guys.
Uh-huh.
There's three spots left to close.
Uh-huh.
Now you got to deal with Chris Paul, Clay, Wiggins, JK, and Pods is some. That's five guys vying for three spots. But he is going to be sometimes.
I know,
sometimes.
But he shouldn't be.
He's going to be sometimes.
He shouldn't be.
He's going to be handling the ball sometimes. That's five guys vying for three spots to close a game. So you got to be on point.
Well,
if you're not on point,
as well.
And That's six guys.
And this is what I would say. But because if you're going to play Curry out there and if you're going to play Klay out there, it is imperative to have length and perimeter defense. So to me, baked into it, yes, Jonathan Kuminga, through the headaches, is going to be one of those guys because he provides something that GP2 doesn't give me, which is the length. He gives me something that Potts doesn't give me, which is the athleticism around the rim, and I believe him to be a superior defender. And he definitely gives me the size and the defense that Chris Paul doesn't give me.
He gets lost in team concepts.
I know he does, but he brings more to the table than those other guys.
But that's going to lose you a game, and Steve Curry ain't got time for that. Steve Curry's trying to get to the playoffs. Sometimes in the game, you got to go with who's got you there in that game. Now, you want a caveat for JK? That's a different conversation. You're saying close JK no matter what.
Yes.
Rest of the way. Okay, that's your opinion.
And I would also say that your track record in these clutch games has proven that you're very, very, very inconsistent one way or the other. So you might as well go with the young guy and then hope a month from now, after a month of closing, he doesn't make those same mistakes.
But he's been closer for the last two. Hell, he's closed for most of the season, hasn't he?
I mean, he got yanked out of it at one point at the end of the Pacer game and then went back
in there. Well, he wasn't having a good game. It was 4-17 Friday night.
But these are the things that I'm saying. Is that you have to play through it, win, lose, or draw.
He's playing 30-plus minutes a game. I don't know what more do you guys want.
We want 35.
You want 35.
That's what we want. We want 35.
Curry can't get 30, but we want JK to play 35.
But if Curry can't play 30, it's more imperative for a young guy to get those extra 5 minutes.
I hear you.
Am I wrong?
I hear you. Let's go to Joe in San Jose. Joe, what's happening?
No, I just wanted to say that one of the problems the Warriors have is that they haven't drafted well. They drafted Wiggins is at the draft. They missed on Wiseman. They missed on Poole. They've missed on a lot of many players. You know, Kuminga is a bright star. So I think the Warriors are just not that very good, and they're old.
What happened?
Flush him.
I don't know what happened there.
Was he calling from a tunnel?
That was we had to flush him.
You know what we had to do? He was making defensive mistakes, and we had to yank him out in the final lineup.
There you go. And we actually may get a win for that. Flowing Water, Plumbing and Drain. That was brought to you by Flowing Water, Plumbing and Drain. Let's go to Eddie and San Mateo. Eddie, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hey, I had a question for you guys. Why do you think the Warriors have been so up and down this season? It's been maddening as a Warriors fan to watch it. Because one game, they look like champion contenders, like they're balling out of control. And then another game, they look like chumps. You know, they look like trash. So I just wanted to get a sense from you guys what you guys think.
What do you think, Eddie? What do you think? I would rather hear your opinion. I would rather hear your opinion on the Warriors up and down season. What do you think?
I think Kerr has not been a great coach. That's my opinion.
Well, I would go in a different direction. I would say that I think the older players can draw from greatness time to time, but back in the day when they're in their prime, they could do it all the time, right? I mean, like, they could carry, like, how many times have we said, man, Curry closes that game? And Curry's the best player on the team by far, by a country mile. And there are times where he's come up short in closing minutes. And I think that it's harder and harder as you get older and older to draw back to that greatness. And you're just going to have fewer games where you could just dominate and just roll the ball out there and have a six-minute stretch where you're getting stops and you're hitting shots.
Steve Kerr mentioned it yesterday. It's a long road trip. Don't want to wear out Stephen Curry, but I didn't think he should have played a couple more minutes. Look, man... When you're slow, I'll say this all day long, and I've said it all season long, you're older, your youngsters are not ready to roll, you're small, you're not athletic, you have to overcompensate down to the post when you double, you can't get out the three-point shooters. Offensively, you have a bunch of combinations where you have one-way players who can't, don't even look at the basket. You're a flawed basketball team. They're 36-34. You are what your record says you are. They're 36-34. And the team that can't win at home this season, 18-19 at home. You go 1-2 on the homestand for the second straight homestand. You had a three-game homestand. You go 1-2 on both homestands. You're not gonna be serious. You're not a serious team. You know what I'm saying? You could try. Like Minnesota and Indiana, and I've seen this all season long, where the Warriors have blown all these 12-point leads and double-digit leads. They lead the league and blow leads. 12-plus leads, 12-point leads here, they've blown it 13 times. They're tied with San Antonio. That's not a good category to be tied with San Antonio with, right?
Who else is on that list?
San Antonio, all bad teams. It's a lot of bad teams on that list. All right?
It does feel like, and I'm not trying to cape up for them, but it sure feels like 1-3, 2-3, boom, it's a 6-point game. So it's a tough, like, but there is something to it if it's all bad teams.
Right. So, I mean, this is who, and now the Rockets, they're one game behind them. But is Draymond Green worried about the Rockets?
How much are you now kind of tracking the Rockets?
No, I don't give a damn about the Rockets.
What about Isaiah Thomas, who was on NBA TV yesterday?
I think they do hold on because of their experience.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, them Houston Rockets, they coming and they playing hard. And you know, the Warriors and the Lakers, the last 2 years, they should be thanking Adam Silver for the play-in.
Say it now.
Yeah.
Say it again now, sir.
Yeah, they should be thanking Adam Silver for the play-in because
thank you.
If there was no play-in,
we're not talking about this.
These two teams would be out of the playoffs,
which is crazy,
for the last 2 years. You know, and it's crazy. Mm-hmm. And but to answer the question about the Rockets, hey, they won 8 straight, playing great basketball.
Yeah.
They're confident. They're young, and they're taking on all comers. So Golden State in L.A., there's pressure to keep winning because there's somebody knocking on the door, and they're not going away. Those Rockets aren't going away.
How disappointing would that be?
I met the criteria to be selected, but I wasn't.
Is that how the Warriors and Lakers are going to
feel? Was that Dennis Scott? Was that 3D?
Dennis Scott.
Next 3D. To him. He did it. He did it me. I don't even know what he said there.
That sounded like the guy with the overalls and Waterboy.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Was that Rob Schneider? Was it? No?
Yeah, Rob Schneider.
Was that Rob Schneider?
No. The guy, again.
The other guy. The other guy. I knew you were talking about
OG. Who is the other guy's name?
I always forget his name, but he's always in Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah, he has the same kind.
He's the dad for the football player in Mr. Deeds. You use foul language in front of a lady?
I love how we remember specific lines in specific movies.
I met the criteria to be selected.
Blake Clark is the actor. Blake Clark. Two first names.
The Rockets. Let me look
if
at the Rockets schedule.
Honestly, that would be like the punctuation on such a crummy season. If the Rockets come up and catch them and they don't even make the play-in.
Well, the Rockets have won 8 games in a row. Imo Udoka has a play at heart. Today they play Portland at home.
Oh, the Portland Trailblazers. It's always the Trailblazers.
Wednesday, OKC.
Is Chauncey going to win one because he's fighting for his life?
Probably not. But Ayton is playing better. Scoot Henderson is playing better. But I haven't watched much Portland Trailblazers.
What's their record? How many wins
they got? I don't even care right now.
Let me look it up.
Monday at home.
I don't care about my Trailblazers. They've got 19 wins.
Yeah, at Oklahoma City Wednesday. For the Rockets. At Utah Friday.
29
home
wins.
Sunday against Dallas.
Ooh.
At Minnesota Tuesday. Then they host the Warriors next Thursday, April 4th. Then they host the Heat on the back-to-back on a Friday night. Then they go to Dallas Sunday. Then they play Orlando. Then they're at Utah, Portland, and the Clippers to end the season. So maybe there's hope for the Golden State Warriors to hold on to that 10th spot and take on the L.A. Lakers in a 9-10 game down in L.A. That's what it's looking like right now.
It sure feels like, and I know things can change, but I've even lost hope for the 9 spot. So this is going to be a road game?
Yeah, in L.A.
If they can make it. I mean, is that, we're consigned.
Well, I mean, don't we want them on the road? They've been better on the road than the Chase Center.
Yeah, but you know how Staples is. Like, Curry doesn't shoot well at Staples.
The hell is Fedotti and the Lakers? Yeah, I just don't want to go through that. But whatever. I'm here for everything. I'm here for everything. I'm here. I'm here, man.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
It's a lot of crazy takes going on these days when it comes to the Warriors. And I get it. I get it. Frustration, impatience. We can flip-flop all that. But the point is, they're 36-34. Bottom line is, they're 0-3 against Minnesota. They're 0-4 against Denver. They're 1-3 against OKC. They're 0-2 against Dallas.
All the Minnesota games have been close, too, I feel like.
Well, I mean, yeah, but you know what? Close but no cigar. We're not a team with more of a hey, but you know what? Those guys were close.
I know, the Denver game where they should have won. I mean
0-4 against, so you're 0-4 against Denver, 1-3 against OKC, 0-4 against Denver, 0-3 against Minnesota, 1-3 against the Clippers, 1-1 right now against the Pelicans, tiebreaker coming up in a couple weeks at Chase Center on a Sunday afternoon. You got the Lakers, you're 2-1 against the Lakers, but you're 2-2 against Sac, you're 0-2 against Dallas. So you just haven't been good against the West. You just haven't been good. Haven't been good enough. Let's go to Josh Los Altos. Josh, what's happening?
Hey, Josh.
You're on the roast.
Dante, what's good, man?
What's hey, up, what's baby? Up?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.